Chapter 36. Rosmarin. We watched Onyx and Erwin until they were only tiny points of black in the sky. That was when Christoph released Rachel and me from his grasp so we could give a final goodbye to Sophia. The Queen wrapped her arms around me as we did so. "Be careful, Rosmarin, and come back to me unharmed." Her words reminded me of my own to my companions only moments before. They sounded like a plea, an hopeful blessing. She then turned to Christoph and hugged him as well. When she reached for Rachel, the vampire didn't deny the embrace. In fact, she wrapped her arms around the queen and said encouraging words as they hugged. "We'll be back, and Nawaddle will be fine. Don't worry." Sophia pulled away from Rachel's embrace, but held on to her hand and squeezed it. "Thank you, Rachel. I hope you all know how truly grateful I am." She wiped her eyes, and then said a final goodbye. We retrieved our horses from the nearby stables, and then made the descent from the castle into the busy city. It was another gorgeous day in Nawaddle, and the sounds of people going about their business, talking to each other and shouting pleasantries at us, were at such odds with how I felt. As I rode along through the streets, I thought about all the dangers that existed only a few days' journey outside the walls. These people went about their lives blissfully unaware of the army of undead or the mysterious sorcerer. I hoped they could continue on with their lives as normal, but if we failed, it would be like Constanta all over again. I smiled and waved as I had done on my last two trips through the city. The people were so kind and warm now, even to Rachel and me. I suspected some of the younger werewolves were even excited to see us. Maybe it was as Lynx said, that they had never met a vampire before. Seeing them so happy gave me hope for the future. Once all this was over, we would make Nawaddle and Constanta better kingdoms together. Soon the eastern wall appeared before us as we rounded a corner of the winding streets. My heart dropped. This was our last time inside the safety of the wall, and I wasn't sure if we would return or if the wall would even remain standing by the time it was all over. As we approached the gate, Lynx and Jace gave a solemn wave to the guards, and they opened the giant doors, fully aware of what we were doing. As we passed through, Jace called up to them.
"Any word from the battle?"
"No word or sight of them yet,"
a guard yelled back down.
"Hopefully all is well."
His words rang in my head as we crossed the open green lands between the wall and the jungle. No word from the soldiers could be a good or a bad thing. We expected to pass the battle at some point, so maybe we would see for ourselves how it was going. If the battle was going well, it would mean less of the hordes guarding the temple. But now we had a 2-day march through the jungles to focus on. Lynx and Jace were our navigators again, and they used their machetes to cut a path through the trees. Most of the journey we spent in silence, checking up on each other every so often or stopping for a quick break for food and water. Through this shared determination, we made decent time through the jungle. We had no signs of zombies, lichlings, or mummies, and I hoped that meant that the undead met their fate at the hands of the Nawaddle army. We plotted a course to Jasmina's shack where we could spend our first night, so she occasionally gave Lynx and Jace directions. As we had done on our first expedition through the jungle, we reached the hut after dark. When the silhouette of the djinn's shack emerged through the darkened trees, I half expected to see a large leopard on top of the building, and I chuckled to myself as the djinn floated up into her house. Jasmina used a spell to light the room, filling it with a warm glow. Then she and Sahar spent some time looking around for any other potions or items that we could take along with us. Michaela joined her, and the trio spent a few hours rifling through Jasmina's strange items and chatting in soft tones. The rest of us settled into different places on the floor, and I hoped I could get some rest. But even wrapped up in Christoph's warm arms, I only managed to doze for a short time. I lay there, and listened to the soft breaths of my sleeping friends until a gray light illuminated the room. I thought about getting up when I heard someone stirring across the room. I glanced over to see Sahar stand up and adjust her headpiece. She let some kind of spell roll over her, then she unlocked the trapdoor and descended the ladder. I couldn't risk any danger to befall Sahar, so I followed her out of the shack into the humid morning air. She had wandered a little way off into the trees, but I could see her soaking in the morning energies. I followed, trying to remain stealthy, but, of course, she sensed my presence before I was even close. "Come to join me in my morning meditation?" she asked in her soothing, deep voice. "I don't know, honestly." I cleared my throat. "I thought I would be ensuring you were safe, but..."
"Come, child,"
Sahar called to me as she reached her hand out. It always tickled me when she called me that, because it was truly possible the sorceress, despite her apparent humanity, might have just cause to use that word. I moved closer and grabbed her hand. She held it firmly and instructed me to take deep breaths. Her magic rushed over me and caused images to flow into my mind of mountain lakes and enchanting forests, of the west and east villages, and Constanta Castle. I felt like I really was in each of these places where I could sense the sounds and how each place made me feel. I smelled freshly baked bread in the east village and felt the cool dark of the castle halls. When the images finally faded, I felt tears slide from my eyes. "Thank you, Sahar. I needed that." It wasn't much, but it was a little boost to remind me why we were here and what we were fighting for. If I wanted to see those places again, I would keep fighting. "What do you know of this sorcerer?" I asked after I had collected myself.
"I'm afraid that I don't know much. I assume it was him who has been blocking my vision."
Sahar closed her eyes as she tried to use her magic to pierce into the temple.
"Even now, I can't see into the ruins."
"Is Kukulkan real?" I questioned her. Her brown eyes opened and locked onto mine, holding me with her intense gaze.
"I have also heard the legend of the feathered serpent. I don't know if it is fantasy or reality, but I do know that there is something else still in that temple."
"It makes sense the sorcerer would be there if Kukulkan is real," I reasoned. "I fear all our efforts will be for nothing if he awakens the beast." She only nodded and then re-entered her meditations. As the jungle came alive with the morning sunlight, I decided to join her, using the time to center my thoughts and fully prepare for the ruins. After we had finished, we walked back to the shack as the others were waking up. We all had a quick meal and resumed our trek. It was another quiet journey, with no signs of any monsters, but we were all still on high alert. The ruins grew closer, and we all had been eager to find any news of the battle. After a few hours, the distinct noises of fighting in the distance echoed through the jungle. Our group quietly moved towards the sounds until we saw a small group of Nahuatl soldiers run through the trees.
"Hey!"
Christoph yelled out to them. The startled soldiers turned with their weapons at the ready. We slowly emerged from our hiding spots with arms raised.
"It's us,"
Lynx called as he came out from behind a tree. When the soldiers recognized their fellow guards, they lowered their weapons.
"What news from the fight?"
Lynx asked.
"The battle is tough, but we're still holding the line,"
one of the werewolves growled.
"We're headed back to Nahuatl to inform the queen and ask for reinforcements,"
another werewolf informed us.
"Then don't let us stop you,"
Rachel added. The werewolves nodded at us and continued their mad dash through the jungle. The news gave me at least some hope. Not all the soldiers had fallen yet, and I hoped the two werewolves would make it back and send reinforcements in time. In addition, the fact that the battle raged on meant that the ruins would be at least a little less crowded, making our part of the quest easier. At least, that was the hope I clung on to. We readjusted our course so we wouldn't be near the battle, and after a couple more hours of trudging through the jungle, the distinct stone buildings of the Tenochtitlan ruins emerged through the trees. We perched on the edge of the tree line to check for how many enemies blocked the path to the temple. We were a little further north from where we first entered the ruins, so now we would approach the temple from another side. As I hoped, the raging battle had drawn most of the zombies and lichlings out of our designated path, so we quietly snuck out of our cover to the crumbling wall. A few zombies and lichlings still patrolled the ruins streets, but Lynx hopped the short wall and snuck up behind the first zombie and slit its throat. We followed the Nog wall quietly through the ruins. I came around a building and almost bumped into a mummy, but my instincts and supernatural reflexes prevailed. I slid my sword through its guts, pinning it in place just long enough to pull my blade out again to decapitate it. Before us was a clump of lichlings, mummies, and zombies, and stealth was no longer an option. Sahar rushed by and sent a blast of wind into two lichlings. They blew backward into an unaware zombie, and then Rachel was on them, bashing her weapon into all three of their skulls. She then spun around and cut a mummy in half. Michaela cracked a lichling's skull with a staff that Rachel hadn't noticed behind her. The two women shared a nod of respect. Kristoff used his dagger to send blasts of light into the enemies, and, like Sahar, he aimed most of his powers at the lichlings, trying to kill them before they could lob magic back at us. Between his powers and his now dual-wielding dagger skills, Kristoff proved a force to be reckoned with. I only wished Onyx could see the Lightbearer at work. Hell, as my companions fought our way back through the ruins, I couldn't help but wish Erwin and Onyx were both with us. Eri could easily be scouting from the skies, killing any stray monster with her arrows, and Onyx would have easily carved us a path through the ruins. Though we were strong without them, they completed our circle. I only hoped that they were faring as well as we were without our aid. 2 days had passed since our departure from Castle Nwotel, and I wondered how far they had made it. I snapped my mind back to the present as I climbed up the side of a crumbling building. We were halfway to the temple now, and I looked behind us to where I thought the battle might be. My vampire eyes pierced the distance, and I could see the red and gold colors of Nwotel on the shining silver armor. Werewolves and Nogwolves fought against the Horde. A mass of them gathered at the edge of the ruins. It appeared the soldiers were using the trees as a buffer to hold off the enemy. I returned my attention to my own battle. I spotted a zombie below and leaped off the building, driving my blade down into its head. It fell down as I let my black wings materialize. I jumped into the air and flew up into the sky. As I zoomed over the ruins, I took stock of how many more undead were milling around. Thankfully, most of them seemed to be at the southern edge of the ruins where the battle was already, and those that weren't were slowly moving that way. I swooped down and sliced my sword through two mummies. They toppled to the ground as Jace ran by, cutting down another zombie. As I continued my assault from the sky, my companions darted from cover to cover, outmaneuvering and taking down several more zombies, mummies, and lichlings. Black blood covered my blade, and I couldn't believe we were back here again. I dropped to the ground and hid my wings as Lynx was the first to make it to the temple stairs. He leapt up them two at a time, while Jace waited at the bottom and waved the rest of our party forward. Sahar was the last to reach the stairs, and Jace and I turned and raced up the steps with her. A few monsters noticed us climbing and tried to follow, but they proved too slow for us even to worry about. We reached the top of the temple, all of us winded, but we had made it through the jungle and the ruins unscathed. We stood on the top of the temple and watched the battle in the distance as we caught our breath. I hoped I wasn't the only one dreading our return to the temple, but no one else made any effort to enter, so I assumed they were just as anxious as I was. We had no idea what we would find. Zillin? Kukulkin, the devourer of worlds? There was only one way to find out.